Well, I'm actually, I feel quite fortunate to actually be speaking last for two reasons. One is that I've had four chances to see how to load the presentation. but secondly, because I think that these four splendid presentations that preceded this have really given us an idea about how blatant what the alcohol companies are doing is in terms of their marketing their products to young people. And I think we all on the panel agree that there needs to be action, policy action taken, both in terms of litigation and in terms of policy changes. And what I'd like to address is there's a need, in order to do these, in order to accomplish these things, there's a need for a scientific base to demonstrate to policymakers, to judges, that the alcohol companies are targeting youths in their advertising. And so that's what I'd like to address, is that research base. I'd like to acknowledge my co-investigators, Dr. Charles King from Greylock McKinnon Associates, Josh Ostroff, Craig Ross, and Karen Dixon from Virtual Media Resources, and Dr. David Jernigan from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Now, although it seems pretty blatant to us that the alcohol companies are going after underage youths, that's not what they say. The Distilled Spirits Council of the United States today says beverage alcohol products should not be advertised or marketed in any manner directed or primarily appealing to persons below the legal purchase age. The Beer Institute says beer advertising and marketing materials are intended for adult consumers of legal drinking age. The Wine Institute says wine advertising shall not be placed in media with substantial underage appeal. And even our Federal Trade Commission, which regulates alcohol advertising, or I should say monitors alcohol advertising, they're not doing much in the way of regulating, but they have basically bitten off on this, and their most recent report, which came out this year, said that more than 92% of all television, radio, and print advertising placements for which data are available had a legal adult audience composition of 70% or better. That's the voluntary standard that the alcohol industry set. And they boasted that 97% of alcohol advertising was due to placements that met the 70% target. So a critical public health research question is, are alcohol companies targeting underage use in their advertising? We may think that it's pretty intuitively obvious that they're doing that, but we need to be able to prove it if we're going to go change public policy and if we're going to win battles in the courtroom. So what is the state of the existing research? Well, several studies have found a relationship between aggregate alcohol advertising and magazines and youth readership. So as the youth readership of magazines go up, we know that there are higher levels of alcohol advertising. We also know that beer and spirits ads in particular are more heavily advertised as youth readership goes up, whereas wine advertisements are not. There's a problem, though, with the existing research, and that is it leaves the companies an argument. They could make the argument that, well, yeah, the reason why our ads are more prevalent in magazines with higher youth readership is because those are the better magazines. We advertise in Sports Illustrated and Rolling Stone not because there's a lot of underage youth reading those magazines, but because those are great magazines. They have higher total audiences. And they have features that we just think that they're appealing to advertise in. So if all beer companies or all spirits companies are advertising similarly with respect to youth readership, the companies can argue that there are actually some unmeasured characteristics of the magazine that's making them more attractive to advertise. And right now, that's basically the escape clause that the alcohol companies have. They can take the existing research and say, well, yeah, of course alcohol advertisements are more prevalent in Sports Illustrated or TV Guide. They're more readers of that magazine. So a possible research solution to this problem is to see whether or not there's a difference in the advertising patterns of alcohol beverage types that are popular among underage youths and those that aren't. So in other words, if we were to look at the alcoholic energy drinks that we heard about earlier, and we were to find that for those drinks, they are advertised more heavily as youth readership in magazines increases. But if we look at drinks that young people don't drink, and find that those drinks are not advertised as heavily as youth leadership increases, that would be strong evidence that the alcohol companies are targeting youth. Because there's no reason, if they're going to argue that those magazines are appealing, then they should be appealing for all alcoholic products, and not just for products that appeal to youth. So our research question specifically was, are alcoholic beverage types that are popular among underage youths more likely to advertise in magazines with higher youth readerships than alcohol types that are less popular among youths? So we modeled the probability that a given alcohol type is advertised in a basic magazine, in a particular magazine, based on the demographic characteristics of that magazine, focusing on its youth readership, the cost of advertising in the magazine, and whether or not that alcohol type is popular among youths or not. We had a sample of 118 magazines over a six-year period from 2002 to 2006, and we looked at 18 different types of alcoholic beverages. There were 5 categories of beer, 11 categories of spirits, and we also included flavored alcoholic beverages and wine. Because we had a binary outcome variable, which is either the particular product either advertised or did not advertise in a magazine in a given year, we used a binary choice model of advertising behavior. We ended up using a probit model, which is slightly different than a logit model, but it's very similar to a logistic regression. It's looking at the probability that a brand will advertise in a magazine as a function of all the different variables in the model. I'm going to kind of skip through some of the details of the methodology because I really want to focus on what we found. But I do want to mention that the key element of our model was that we put in an interaction term for each of the variables in the model to allow for a different relationship between youth and non-youth alcohol types. So in other words, we separately modeled how youth alcohol brands respond in their advertising with respect to youth readership, and then how non-youth alcohol brands respond. And if the alcohol companies are right, there should be no difference between those advertising patterns with respect to the percentage of youth readers in of a magazine. So our main predictor variable is the percentage of youth readers, underage youth readers, ages 12 to 20. The other variables we looked at are total readership, to counter the argument that the companies are simply advertising in magazines which have higher readership. We looked at the percentage of young adult readers, because the companies could argue, well, we're not going after underage youth, we're going after young adults. We want 18 to 24-year-olds, or 18 to 34-year-olds. 21 to 34-year-olds. So we looked at the percentage of young adult readers. We also looked at the percentage of male readers, the household income of readers, the annual number of issues, the cost of advertising, and the year. And this shows you what the model looks like. We were modeling the probability of advertising for a given alcohol type in a magazine as a probit function of a number of variables. And the one of interest here is the percentage of youth readers. The coefficient here shows you that there is a coefficient and an interaction term, and the interaction term comes into play only for the youth types. So the coefficient B reflects the change in likelihood of advertising as youth readership increases for the non-youth alcohol types. And the coefficient B plus BI reflects the change in the likelihood of advertising as youth readership increases for youth types. So if I go back, if this delta is zero, which it is for the non-youth types, this drops out of the model and it's just the B. So this B reflects the relationship between youth readership and advertising for the non-youth brands. For the youth brands, this delta is 1, so B plus BI is the coefficient. And this BI coefficient is basically what's going to tell us, the statistical significance of that coefficient is going to tell us whether there's any difference between how youth brands are treating youth readership and how adult brands are treating youth readership. How did we classify the alcohol types as youth versus adult? Well, we used data from the MRI survey of the American consumer on 6-month prevalence of alcohol use among 18 to 20-year-olds. And this is basically what it looked like. You can see the prevalence was highest, and it's going down. And what we did is, instead of drawing some sort of arbitrary line, you know, deciding where to cut this, to cut the youth from the non-youth, what we did is we cut out the middle third. So we classified the top third as youth alcohol types and the bottom third as non-youth types. And we basically threw out the middle third. So when we talk about youth types and non-youth types, you can see exactly the kinds of products we were talking about. So the youth types were premium beer, low-calorie beer, imported beer, vodka and rum, and flavored alcoholic beverages. The non-youth types were gin, cognac, malt liquor, brandy, whiskey, and scotch. You can see immediately that there was a difference in the distribution of where they placed their ads. So these are the non-youth types, and you can see only 4.1% of those types place their ads in very high youth readership magazines, 30 to 40%, whereas 9.7% of the youth brands place their advertising in these magazines with high youth readership. And you also see a pattern with the high youth readership between 20 and 30%. The non-youth brands placed only 19% of their ads in those magazines, where the youth brands placed 33% of their brands. So just from a kind of qualitative look at the data, it seems like there's a difference between how these brands are behaving. When you run the model, it turns out, lo and behold, that we found that for the B coefficient was not significant, meaning that for non-youth brands, brands that are not popular among youth, they don't care about youth readership. There's no relationship between their advertising and youth readership. It doesn't enter into their placement. However, this BI coefficient was positive and significant, indicating that for the non-youth brands, they care about youth readership. Even after controlling for all the other variables in the model, they're more likely to advertise in magazines as the youth readership increases. We reran the results in terms of a Loggit model because the Loggit model allows you to generate an odds ratio. It's a little hard to understand what 0.238 means, how big of an effect that is. But if you run it with a Loggit model, you can see that for every 10 percentage point increase in youth readership, the youth alcohol types are 1.8 times more likely to advertise in that magazine. So over the full range of youth readership, which goes from about 0% to 40%, from the lowest youth readership magazine to the highest, these youth alcohol brands are about 6 times more likely to advertise. And here's what it looks like when you graph it out. So these are the non-youth alcohol types. And you can see that as the percentage of youth readership goes up, their probability of advertising in a magazine doesn't really change very much. There's no significant increase. Whereas for the youth alcohol beverage types, as the percentage of youth readers in a magazine goes up, there's a striking increase in the probability that they're going to advertise. And if you look at the ratio of the probability that a youth brand is going to advertise versus an adult brand, you can see that as youth readership goes up, that steadily increases. So the major finding is that youth alcoholic beverage types, but not non-youth types, are more likely to advertise in magazines as youth readership increases, and this relationship is not explained by the hypothesis that alcohol companies are trying to reach young adults. We conclude that alcoholic beverages that are popular among youth are more likely to be advertised in magazines with high youth readerships compared to those which are less popular among youth. And we believe that this finding provides the strongest evidence to date that, contrary to their public statements and their advertising codes, alcohol companies are targeting youth in their advertising. And further, we believe that the existing voluntary standards that have been endorsed by the Federal Trade Commission are clearly not sufficient to protect youth from disproportionate exposure to advertising in magazines. I think we might have a couple of minutes left for any questions. Well, the main policy implication is that the 30% voluntary standard that the FTC is monitoring is basically useless. I mean, basically, if you look at the magazines, the percentage of youth readers in magazines, the only kinds of magazines that rules out are things like Highlights for Kids. Magazines that, for the most part, you know, the companies would be really blatant to be doing that. So the 30% standard basically is like, it's completely window dressing. So I think the first thing that needs to be done, if the FTC is interested at all in this issue, is to lower that threshold.
Let's go one more up here.
And then we can do it.
May I suggest something, because we are over time, and if you could please, the speakers I'm sure would be happy to answer your questions one-on-one, is just that we want to make sure we don't outstay our welcome as a section to make sure that we start and end on time. I want to give our speakers another round of applause. A great job they've done.